Hey, Chad, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
Okay, what about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay, oh,
I got it.
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what'd you think of Cats Don't Dance?
I didn't realize that this was going to be a racial satire month on Watch What podcasts.
Yeah.
It was good.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Good. I'm glad you thought so. Welcome to You Want Me to Watch What?
Weren't expecting that response, huh?
No. Where Chad and I tackle social issues via movies and animation. No. You Want Me to Watch What? Where Chad and I recommend movies to the other that they haven't seen, and then we talk about it. This week's selection is the 1997 film Cats Don't Dance. It's a musical comedy. And it was by Turner Feature Animation, which effectively was Warner Brothers at the time. They hadn't officially merged yet, but it's a Warner Brothers film. It stars the likes of Scott Bakula.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Jasmine Guy. Don Knotts makes an appearance. Kathy Najimy's in it. John Rhys Davies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's... There's
Cruella DeVille.
Oh, yes, that's right. Betty Lou Gerson, who voiced Cruella DeVille in the 101 Dalmatians classic. But let's get into the plot of the movie, and then we can discuss all the backstage stuff. It is 1937, and it's a world where humans and anthropomorphic animals. I'm sticking with that. Anthropomorphic animals coexist. So think Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but the humans are not real humans, they're cartoon humans. Danny, an optimistic 18-year-old cat from Kokomo, Indiana, decides he wants to go into show business. So he hops on a bus for Hollywood, and this is where we get the opening credits as the bus travels across the country. He makes it to Hollywood, and in a very lovely song and dance routine... we get his intentions with the world. Much to the chagrin of another cat named Sawyer, who we will meet in a little bit, because it seems like every time he does something, it messes with her a little bit, unbeknownst to him, because he's singing and dancing. Along the way, he befriends a small little penguin named Pudge and makes his way up to the Farleywink... talent agency, and they specialize in helping animals find roles in movies. And he is just perfect for a movie called Little Archangel. Starring Darla Dimple. Yes. So Danny thinks that he's going to blow everybody away with his masterful acting skills. He shows up, he gets the script. It is simply meow, because cats meow. He tries to put a little bit more razzmatazz in it, and it doesn't go well for him because Darla is a spoiled little brat.
Yeah.
And her behemoth of a butler walks through the wall, literally. Picks Danny up in very cartoony fashion where only his head is poking out of the fist and says, "How does the kitty cat talk?"
Meow.
Good. And sets him down and walks back through the hole he created.
With a flash of light, was gone.
So, Mammoth Studios, where all this is being made, the mascot, Wooly, who's actually an elephant that they shove big tusks into, he befriends, Wooly and Danny become friends, and he learns that humans are given more important roles than animals, and the animals are often thankless and uncredited and just kind of there. And mm-hmm. so Danny tries to make the other animals see that they are worth more. And there's this lovely song and dance routine that kind of ignites the fire under some of the older animal actors who were also at the talent agency. Darla catches wind of this and she decides, I can't have this going on because it'll ruin my popularity. So she invites Danny over to lunch and effectively a deal with the devil is made. She promises him that she will get him and his friends in front of the head of Mammoth Studios, but really what she's doing is setting them up for disaster. She floods the soundstage where they're setting up, which also happens to be the stage of Little Archangel, and it causes hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage. The animals are blamed, and they're kicked out of the studio. Danny realizes what had happened and decides, maybe this isn't for me, and goes to head home. On the bus ride home, after talking to the bus driver, who's kind of a jerk, he realizes, no, I gotta stay and help my friend. So he jumps off the bus, grabs Pudge, and they decide, okay, we're gonna bust in on the Little Archangel premiere and make it so that the animals are well received. And we're going to make it in such a way that Darla can't say anything because it's, quote, her idea. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to pin the blame on her for this. And they, after a chase scene between Danny and Max, which ends lovely, they start the routine and all the other animals show up. And it is a big hit, mostly because of Darla, who's trying to sabotage it. And every time she does, it goes right for the animals and wrong for her.
My child interrupted several many times during this, like saying every lever she pull is the make it better lever.
Yes. So at the end, everybody's standing up and applauding. It went masterfully for the animals. Darla, not so much, makes her way up on stage, battered, bruised, tangled in wires and whatever. And effectively announces into a microphone that she didn't realize was tangled up in her, that she was the one who caused the flooding. And, oh, well, she gets her comeuppance, the animals get more respect, it's a happy ending. The end. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this movie had a good cast. Scott Bakula plays Danny and is also the speaking and singing voice of Danny.
Surprised the heck out of me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Jasmine Guy is Sawyer, the other cat, and love interest. Natalie Cole is Sawyer's singing voice.
Yeah.
So
Nat King Cole's daughter.
Yeah.
Heck of a pedigree on that.
Oh, yeah. And then you've got Kathy and Jimmy as Tilly the Hippo, one of the other animals at the agency. John Rhys-Davies is Wooly the Mammoth. Betty Lou Gershon, Cruella DeVille is Francis the Albacore. And you pointed this out to me before we started taping. She also has one of those very long cigarette holders like Cruella DeVille had.
Uh-huh. Don't forget Megatron was the agent, Frank Welker.
Yeah, Frank Welker, who has been in everything. He's been Freddy from Scooby-Doo. He's the current voice of Scooby-Doo, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Frank Welker is the voice of my childhood, unknowingly. You got Don Knotts as T.W. Turtle. It's a nice little pedigree of actors from the 90s back.
Lot of talent thrown into this.
Oh, yeah. So give me your thoughts on this, my friend.
So we started watching at dinner, right? Because this was on YouTube. So I was watching it on the small screen because that has ad blocking. And
yeah,
I didn't want it to be interrupted by commercials by watching it on TV. So we start watching. The song starts up, and I'm noticing kind of what's going on and around. And I turned to my spouse. I said, is this set in the 30s or 40s? Because there's Wizard of Oz reference and there's the Gone with the Wind reference. I'm like, those were 1939. And then I'm watching the dancing and I'm like, oh, that's Singing in the Rain type stuff. Is Gene Kelly involved in this? Turns out, yes.
Yes.
And at that point I was on, right? At midway through the opening song, I was on because those are the movies of my childhood. Like those were the things that I watched with my mother that whenever we rented movies, whenever like I was sick and she was also home, it's like we would watch, you know, Disney's Pinocchio because that was like one of the only movies that I had that was mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we would watch some old stage musical kind of thing or movie musical. And so it looked right and it captured the spirit of that time.
Yep.
Then we get in a little bit further and Darla shows up and I'm like, okay, well, that is very clearly not exactly, what's her name? The child actress.
Shirley Temple?
Yes. That's not exactly Shirley Temple because Shirley Temple was a pain in the butt to work with from most accounts, but not because she was mean or vicious, but because she was a very quick study. And she held the adult actors to the same standard that she held herself, which was, why don't you know your lines? You've had this for a week.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. But like, otherwise, she was a professional in that. And then we really get into the why the animals don't get roles. And so I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
This is making a comment on kind of the racial realities of the 1930s in Hollywood. Don't know if I would have used animals for that one. But I guess that's what we're doing. So that part, not a huge fan. Get it? Don't much like it. Doesn't take away that the movie itself does a really good job of kind of working itself past that point.
Yes.
You know? And so at the end of it, I'm like, I like this. I could see myself watching this again. You know, it helped that no one dies.
Yeah.
My child was sitting right next to me, and after a while, every time something happened, the child would be like, I don't like this. Well, go in the other room. I've got to watch this. I don't like this. Tough.
Go you know, away.
Because the cats are sad. Or yeah. Because he's running away or because something, this, that, or the other. This one felt like the kind of movie that you'd almost expect Don Bluth to make if no one had ever hurt Don Bluth.
Yeah, it has that kind of animation feel to it, yeah.
You know, it has that very 90s kind of animation,
mm-hmm.
You know, where you've got these semi-realistic mats in the background,
mm-hmm.
And then you have the colorful characters on board, including parts where they will get more colorful when something happens.
Yeah.
And then fade back out, which I think was done intentionally. I don't think that was fake. That was an intentional design choice.
Yeah. It's also got like a soft feel to it versus a very hard outline. You've got the character and the background. It's got a softer feel to it where it all kind of blends in, much like a Don Bluth film.
Uh-huh. So animation-wise, I bought in. The timing, I bought in. The characters, I was so shocked at Scott Bakula's singing voice. I'm like, why isn't that being done more often? I thought he had somebody singing for him.
Nope.
Until I looked it up on Wikipedia later. You know, when most everyone else who's got a singing part has somebody else singing for them. It's like, okay.
The movie is the long lost extra season of Quantum Leap where Dr. Sam Beckett leaps into an anthropomorphic cat to set right what once went wrong.
Just one more leap. Hoping it will be the leap home. But this, it was a very balanced movie where the parts that were kind of pushing toward a little bit too serious were then balanced out by something else.
Yeah.
That kind of took it off. And even the parts that were kind of emotionally harder, which I appreciated. I like it when a kid's movie isn't afraid to be a little bit down on you. Even those parts, they get to have their balance points to them.
Yeah.
You know, and they get to be righted pretty quickly. Not immediately, but pretty quickly. Randy Newman does good music, so long as he's not the one singing it.
And he's not.
And so that really worked out. Being able to watch the Gene Kelly type dance stuff made me happy. I liked that.
He was the choreographer consultant on this, and it was one of the last things he worked on, participated in before his death. In fact, they even credit him with a memoriam in the credits.
Mm-hmm. So, overall, it's good. I mean, it's a good movie. It is not going to set the world on fire. You know, it didn't in 1996. It's probably not going to do it now. But I would say that you probably, if you got kids, or honestly, if you were in junior high or high school in the 90s, you probably owe it to yourself to watch this. This has got some real strong pre-Animaniacs style vibes to it.
Oh, yeah. And with a runtime of an hour and 14 minutes.
You probably got time.
No, there's no filler scenes. There's no extra fluff. It tells its story and it tells it nicely. Yeah.
So, I'm on board.
Cool. That's a see it from you.
See it from me.
And a see it from me. All right. Well, I do believe that it is your turn.
All right, cool.
Hello, Meat Popsicles. Why don't you grab your multipass, a drink, and come sit with us?
Let's pick each other's brain. We want you to be part of our intimate conversation about science fiction topics.
Let's do this. Join us, and let's talk about science fiction topics in books, movies, TV shows, and games.
At Science Fiction Remnant, you are invited to listen in.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And don't forget your multipass.